Let me pray. Father God, as we think about what you have to say to us this morning, that you would open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit and give us the wisdom to know what is of you and what is not. And as we learn to apply what we learn this morning into this world, that you would give us bravery and courage to do what your calling for us is. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I wonder if... I want you to think about this as Cornelius' story. God uses unlikely people in unlikely places to do extraordinary things. And this is why I chose Cornelius, because he's an unlikely person. First of all, we established he's quite well off in the Roman world. He would be quite powerful. He would have control over basically 100 soldiers. But more than that, he would have been in control of a unit that would have been support units and other people. So the people who were cooking for those 100 soldiers, the whole logistics he would have been in charge of. So he's a powerful man, unlikely because he is a powerful man. The other thing is he is, as we established, a Gentile. And so therefore Gentiles didn't often come and not converted into Judaism. So he didn't go the route Judaism first, then Christianity. He went straight from having no faith and probably being associated with Roman gods and all that sort of stuff into the future, and then unlikely places where he was and located, and Peter coming to see him would have been quite difficult for Peter. And we'll explore why that was a little bit later on. But in that whole story, we see something extraordinary happen, and it's an unleashing of the word of God reaching into specifically Gentile mission. And that's where Peter goes with it, and we'll see Paul later on follows in that. But I've got a question for you first of all. Has anybody ever heard of this man? Frank Jenner. Nobody, unless you've been in the first service. So everybody's going like, nah, never heard of this bloke. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Frank Jenner. This is an unlikely person. He is an Australian, and God loves him. And, you know, as a New Zealander, it's always difficult to say those words. But I can, gracefully, of course. Because I became a Christian in Australia, which is funny. God's great sense of humour. But he was based in Sydney, and he used to go up and down George Street. And he would go down George Street. It was renowned in Australia as a bit of a place where people would get off their boats as merchant navy soldiers. And then, yeah, now the penny's dropping. And he would go along the street, and he would talk to drunken sort of sailors or mariners and go, if you die tonight, are you going to go to heaven or to hell? He would ask that question, put a tract in their hand. They would go away. And then they would maybe think about what he said. And this man called Peter, who's a pastor in a church in Britain, was sharing this story about how he came to faith. He said, you wouldn't believe it, but I was in Sydney. I was in the Navy, Royal Navy, and I went on George Street, and I got on a tram then. I'd had a bit to drink, and I was feeling a little bit wobbly. Man comes up to me, goes, if you die tonight, will you go to heaven and hell? And shoves this tract in my hand, and off I go. And I couldn't get that question out of my brain the whole night. And I didn't end up sleeping. And I was on the boat, and I was thinking, what do I do about this? When I got back to Britain, I found a pastor. He talked to me about Jesus and my assurance of heaven. And I found my faith, and I ended up becoming a pastor in a Baptist church. And so he's telling the story. And then somebody goes from the back, you won't believe it. I was in Sydney on George Street after being in the Royal Navy. I came out, I was feeling a bit worse for wear, and a man comes out unassuming and annoyingly says to me, if you die tonight, are you going to heaven or hell? He gave me a tract, I went on the boat, I couldn't stop thinking about the question. I got back to Southport, and when I got there, I found out a pastor, and the pastor told me about Jesus and how I could be assured of my destination, and I found my peace with God, and I became a Christian, and so therefore I'm now thinking about going into ministry. Anyhow, this Peter carries on, and he goes to Australia of all places. He's called over there. Somebody had asked him to do some talking down that way, and he's in a meeting, and he's sharing his story of faith, and a guy down the back in Melbourne goes, yeah, Pastor, I remember. I was down there. Oh, yeah, that's my Australian accent, by the way. I was going down George Street. This annoying man comes up to me and asks me a question. If I die tonight, am I going to go to heaven or hell? Throws me a tract. I go home thinking about it and I can't stop thinking about it all night. I couldn't sleep that night. I found out a pastor in my local town, and now I'm a Christian, and I'm thinking about going into ministry. And anyhow, Peter goes to another church in Adelaide, and he's sitting there at the back, and this guy gets up in true form and shares his testimony. And he goes, "You wouldn't believe it. I was in George Street in Sydney, not feeling too good. Man comes up to me, asks me a question, if I die tonight, am I going to heaven and hell? Throws me a tract, I get on the tram, run away, and I'm just thinking about it all night, and I think, I've got to find somebody who can help me explain it. So I find a local pastor, and I become a Christian. And that's my story to faith. And this guy, Peter, is just thinking down the back, and he starts going around the world, and he connects lots and lots of people who found, or the beginning of their faith started on George Street in Sydney. Many people who traveled, there were people in India who had become to faith as a result. There were people all around the world that had realized that they had a faith. And I wonder, he was the most unassuming man. And finally, this Peter found out the name of the guy, and it turned out to be Frank Jenner. He went to visit him and told him, "You wouldn't believe this, but I've met lots of people who have come to faith as a result of your ministry." Frank Jenner said, "Didn't even know that. I just was told by God, go out on the street, give people a tract, ask them a question, and shove them a tract. And that's all I was told to do. I didn't know if it had any effect at all." And the guy just said, "The effect you've had is global and amazing. And there will be many, many souls that will be in heaven because of the question you asked people and the bravery that you showed. Unlikely person for extraordinary work." Yet he didn't even know that that had happened. And I want you to think about Frank Jenner as we go and think, actually, am I worthy of doing God's mission? Am I able to do God's mission? And the answer is, look at his example. And yes, you are. And it's a wonderful story. And why I sort of wanted to do that is because Cornelius is an unlikely person to be doing God's mission. First of all, he's not in the covenant promise, so he's not part of the Jewish faith, so he's not going to be anywhere near that. He's rich, he's wealthy. He probably doesn't need God if he's honest, but something in him recognizes the deep need to connect with a heavenly Father. He believes in he would have been brought up believing in multiple gods, as the Romans did at that time. So he would have been brought up in the wrong religion. He would have been brought up as a Gentile, and probably as a powerful man would have seen many difficult things in battle that we never have to face, fortunately, today. And so he would have been a man that struggled. But a Roman centurion with all of that past decides that he is going to be a loving seeker of God, a man of continual prayer, and he's going to be obedient against all odds. Incredible faith of a man that shouldn't have it. Yet God had spoken to him and he had looked at the things. So we see from the evidence, verse 1a at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion. So there we see the evidence of that. Again, with lots of power, he could be a very proud man, as lots of centurions probably were, and believed that they had power over other people. He had the power of life and death in his hands with so many people's lives. And when people sometimes get that power, they can believe themselves a bit more than they should and actually, you know, trust in their own judgment and other things. But instead we find, what is he like? A devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously, gave generosity. He gave money to poor, helped out people in need, was somebody of good stature, and was loving and compassionate towards his neighbor, generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. This is a guy that hasn't got a clue about what God is about, yet he is seeking something of God in his life. I wonder, and my question is, how many people out there in the world today are like Cornelius? They don't make the connections quite yet, but they know that there's a God. They're asking questions about it. Maybe that's you today, and maybe you need to join the dots and find out what God is like and find out about his son, Jesus, and how he's changed the world. But he was generous and praying and asking God for help. And the beautiful thing is we see that God hears him and honors him by sending an angel. And an angel, by the way, is a messenger from God. Doesn't have to be the winged variety, but clearly there was something quite dazzling about this presence, because Cornelius was taken aback and he's going, wow, this is something and significant. But the other thing that's remarkable about Cornelius is he's been praying all this time, suddenly sees a vision. He could think he's crazy, but instead he is obedient to God's call. So we see him, he sends men to Joppa for a certain Simon who's called Peter. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner in a house by the seaside. So what does he do? He sends for him and asks for Peter to come. In the meantime, while that's happening, the bit that we skipped over between 8 and 23 is the story of Peter sitting on a roof, having a vision from God, and from the God, like a sheet, came down these things of like pork, seafood, all of these things that were considered traditionally unclean by the Jewish people. They were coming down from the sky. And Peter was clocking on, this meant something significant. God was changing not only the dietary habits of the people, and I'm glad for that because I really like my seafood and my pork, and it's very delicious. And it came down, and actually though, he said, these foods are okay to eat now. But Peter got the hidden message that God was trying to tell him. Actually, all the things that we thought were unclean now are clean. So therefore, the Gentiles are no longer unclean, but clean and ceremonially clean. And so what we see is that interaction when Peter goes after Cornelius calls them to his house. Peter goes in not worried about the ceremonial cleaning that he might have had to go through. He's not worried about entering Cornelius' house because he's a Gentile. Rather, he sees a brother and he goes in and spends time with the family. And so what happens as a result of Jesus's ministry in there? Peter's ministry, which is Jesus's ministry, by the way. He preaches to his family and the household, which we have established is probably quite big. And people hear the truth of who Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit fills that space. And suddenly people really get it. And they are part of the God's family. These are the first Gentiles that don't go through the Jewish process into full belief and Holy Spirit filled. Sure, Acts 2 is probably the other place where we see it all, where Peter addresses everybody and they come to Christ. There's 5,000 people. But this is probably the first time we see it as clear as this. And the encouragement for us here is that Peter didn't do that much. God did it all. Cornelius was prayerful and faithful, but God did it all. Even despite that, he brought Peter into his house. Peter preached a sermon through the power of the Holy Spirit that transformed the hearts of people, and the Holy Spirit came on the people and they started believing. And from that household, no doubt, the word spread from there and out. And I think that's remarkable for us. When we're talking about mission, I always think it's quite a fearful thing for people. People are scared of it because it's kind of, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm not good enough. Perhaps I'm worried about the people who might come and hear about it and might reject me. Well, if we go back and listen to Frank's life, I'm sure lots of people did reject him and said, you're crazy old man, just get away from me. I'm sure lots of people didn't listen to him, but people did. And that's the point. If we remain silent about our faith, how do people know about it? And how do people turn to God and come to faith? And that's a really important thing. Cornelius, I think there are Corneliuses out there in this world now who haven't connected the dots yet, understand that they believe in something, but they're not sure what it is. And so they're seeking and looking and trying to find it. Maybe a well-asked question is all you need in your armament. If you die tonight, would you go to heaven or to hell? And maybe people can then do their own work through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of God. And they might seek out a pastor or somebody who might see as have authority on the word. We all have the authority on the word because God has given it to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the way. But they might seek somebody out and ask deeper questions. How do I know? How can I be assured? Well, let me tell you. Here's how. And so we see that truth coming out, and Peter's just obedient to God as well. Cornelius is obedient to God. That changes the history of the world. And if we think about it, the Great Commission, what did Jesus say to the disciples just before he left? He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the interesting thing is, this is probably about 7 years after Jesus has said that. And this is the first evidence we see of Gentiles coming into the faith. For the 7 years beforehand, they've been focusing on the Jewish group. Suddenly they realize there's a world out there. Peter opens up to that because God has given him that vision, and he is encouraged to go out and then enable Paul to do the mission to the Gentiles, where Paul goes out from that point and sends out and talks to people about Jesus. And so we see clearly, that's why I love Cornelius. He didn't know what it was about. He kind of had questions. He was faithful even though he didn't know what it was all about. And when he found out, he fell to the floor and worshipped God because he had been doing all the prep work beforehand. And God then opened him up to the truth of his love. And I wonder for each one of us, who's the Corneliuses in our lives? Who are the people out there that are seeking and asking questions and trying to find faith? Who are the people maybe God should be sending us to? And all we can do, I think, is follow Cornelius' example, pray faithfully. Trust God that he will give you the openings that you need. I don't talking about a forceful way of going in and banging somebody around the head with a Bible, but rather a gentle approach of mission that says, God, I'm here, I'm available, what do you want me to do? I'm open to your spirit. Show me and lead me. And then we see this, I love this quote. No matter who or what we are, God restores us to the right standing with himself only by the means and the death of Jesus Christ. When we do mission, that should be our mantra. It shouldn't be, look at me, the great missioner, but remembering that my restoration comes in Jesus. My love of God comes from Jesus. And so therefore, when people meet me, I want to be an ambassador for him. And as Peter did when Cornelius gets down on the floor and worships, and he goes, whoa, no, hang on a minute, Cornelius. Get up. I'm only a man. I'll point you to the God that I knew, the one who can do and make your life different. Peter's faithful in his calling as well. He gets Cornelius up and points to the cross and tells him the truth of his reassurance. So when Cornelius is asked the question, if I die tonight, will I go to heaven or hell? He knows the answer because the answer is found in the love of God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's all we have to do. Point to that cross. Keep on going. Show people the way and they will find it because God will be with them. We won't get everybody. We won't convince everybody. That's okay. That's between them and God. You haven't failed. You've just been faithful in your mission. And that's all. My prayer and my hope for us as we think about our future as a church and as we go into this year of invitation, that we would be brave and bold in the invitations that we give to people to come to different events that we put on over the next year. And that people might just say, do you know what? I'm ready for this. I'm going to come. Amen. Let's just pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you gave your son Jesus Christ for us and that we can be assured of the answer because of him, where our destiny is. Thank you for people like David who had a clear faith and knew his destination. Pray for those who don't yet know their destination, and I pray that you would open their hearts to the truth of your love, that you want to save them, that you want to bring them to a place of eternal life and a place of confidence in who you are. And Lord, if there are people out there in our lives today that are asking those questions, may you make it clear to us by your power who they are. And through that, Lord, that we would be able to encourage them on their way to worshiping you. And so, Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.